7:37 Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK on this Tuesday morning. Glad you're tuned in. And our guest right now is Dr. Joe Stoll. He has served Christ in churches as president at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and now serves as a teaching partner with RBC Ministries and president of Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's also author of a book we're going to discuss.
We're going to talk about leadership this morning. His book is called Redefining Leadership. We were just hearing that song, We Won't Be Shaken. Well, maybe your leadership style will be shaken a little bit by the time we get through some of these topics. So this morning, we just want to welcome you, Dr. Stoll, to Faith Radio Mornings.
Thanks, PK. Delighted to be with you.
So from all the years of leadership experience I just mentioned there, being a pastor to president of a university, I'm wondering, have you always been a character-driven leader, Dr. Stoll?
It's the best way to say it, Ted, is that's always been my goal. You know, we're all fallen. We're all frail. We're all just a little twisted, aren't we? So, but I've always felt that character-driven leadership always produces the maximum long-term results. And the book contrasts outcomes-driven leadership with character-driven leadership. Outcomes-driven leadership is just leading for the big outcomes, and that's fast and it's quick. A little more like rewarding. But character-driven leadership is deeper, more long-term, and the maximum results over the long-term of leading from a solid character of who you are and how you lead, not what you accomplish necessarily, brings just maximum results and in the end honors and glorifies God, which is the purpose of our lives and our leadership.
I think it gets really difficult at times because that attraction, that appeal, the goal of having just a really successful outcome really can get us, I think, blindsided too, can it? I mean, how do we keep on track so that doesn't creep in and affect our leadership style?
Well, I think, and what I tried to do in the book, PK, was to emphasize the patterns, the habits that we cultivate into our leadership life that helps us resist the temptation for those quick outcome results that often injures people we work with, that often tempts us to compromise our character, that takes Jesus out of the mix of our leadership. So like in all of life, the good choice builds a good habit that makes a great leader. Mm. And I think that leadership is not only a gift, PK, but leadership is a choice. And every one of us will choose how we will lead. And so that's the focus of the book, is to help us build these critical habits of character-driven leadership that in the end make for maximum results.
And Dr. Stoll, there are leaders that, you know, really need to see the outcomes of their efforts in leading. They need to see that kind of tangible, if you will, measure of success. And what are your thoughts about them? What advice do you have for those that might be even trapped in that?
Read my book.
Okay, well, it's been great having you on today.
Exactly. But I just want to make this clear, is that outcomes are critically important in leadership. I mean, none of us want to just veg through leadership and not care about the outcomes. I mean, that's why God's gifted us to be leaders, is to get something great done for Him. So the issue is not the outcomes. The issue is, how do I get to the outcomes, and what's the maximum way to get to the outcomes? And when we lead, and in the book I contrast two different patterns in leadership. Positional leadership, where I lead just from the leverage of my authority. Look, I'm the leader. Okay, everybody get in line and do what I tell you to do. Or leading from moral authority, where the depth and character and quality of a leader's life compels people to follow the leader and to be on board with the leader to get great things accomplished in the organization. When a leader has to be tempted to just pull the levers of his power to get things done, it's a bad sign. When people love to get things done with the leader because they respect and admire the leader's character and the kind of person he is and how he treats them, then you've got an organizational culture that's very powerful. So someone who's tempted just to go for the outcomes, I'd want to have them ask themselves the question, are you leading from positional authority or are you leading from moral authority? And in the book, I try to center all of this in Jesus Christ, and he was the most unlikely leader. He didn't hang out with the big guys in Jerusalem. He didn't wear the fancy hats. You know, he didn't live in the great neighborhoods. You know, he was down in Capernaum, down in the valley, and really, but his moral authority attracted the crowds and had people following him, and people were willing to die for him, not because he had positional authority, but because he had that very compelling moral authority in his life, because he was the ultimate character-driven leader. So I'm really calling all of us to lead as Jesus led. And I think another thing, too, is that I wrote the book for leaders who don't get a lot of applause on this side of heaven, because there are some character-driven leaders who lead in small venues, who are never recognized, who don't write books, who don't have radio programs, but the work that they're doing in people's lives is powerful and often generational. Like they're 6 foot under before they know what the impact of their leadership has been in the lives of the people that they've led and influenced. So I think we need to see character-driven leadership as a long-term benefit, as opposed to just what did I do today that was great.
Mm-hmm. We're talking this morning with Dr. Joseph Stoll. His book is called Redefining Leadership, It's Character-Driven Habits of Effective Leaders. And when we come back, we'll talk about maybe some advice, Dr. Stoll, that you can give to leaders that are listening this morning, maybe those who feel like they're not leaders, but they're in that position, and maybe for those that are that need a little direction. So we'll address some of those issues again. Coming up next on Faith Radio Mornings.
It's Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, 7:46 on this Tuesday morning. We're having a discussion about leadership and what an effective leader looks like.
Dr. Joseph Stoll joins us this morning. His book is called Redefining Leadership, It's Character-Driven Habits of Effective Leaders. And Dr. Stoll, you talked just a moment ago about humility really being the most important character trait, I think. But yet, if you're really humble and you're not out there kind of in the dog-eat-dog world, you know, that really fierce competition sometimes, isn't it? I think for those that like to lead from a humble position is that they're just going to get run over and somebody's going to take that spot because they're more aggressive, and our world looks at the more aggressive slash assertive leader as the one who's really going places.
Yeah, I think, PK, it's all about the definitions, really. So what do we mean by humility? If we're really if we're talking about humility of like being quiet and deferring and walking around with my hands folded and saying prayers quietly to people, you know, then that kind of leader is going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, there is a certain sense of weight to leadership. Mm-hmm. But if humility, as it truly is, means that I am not a self-directed person, that I have humbled myself and surrendered to Jesus Christ and his will and his ways, then I will lead as he tells me to lead instead of how my instincts lead. In the book, I have a section on not trusting our instincts because we're fallen, and how we need to cultivate that deep need for Jesus to guide our leadership and to mentor our leadership and to teach us the leadership principles that he has given us that make us so effective in terms of character-driven leadership. So if it's that humility that, number one, surrenders completely to Jesus Christ as a leader, you can still be tough and do that. Mm-hmm. In fact, was Jesus ever tough? You know, I have never spoken the words to my team that he said to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, you vipers!" And, you know, like, all right, so he was the ultimate. He was the ultimate humble leader. Read Philippians chapter 2, who humbled himself and became obedient to his Father. The other aspect of humility is realizing, being humble enough to know that I am nothing without what God has given to me. I think of myself, the home I grew up in. My dad was a character-driven leader. That's why it's impressed me to be that kind of a leader. The education I was permitted to have, the gifts that God has given to me. Without everything I have is from God. So for me to take glory as a leader and to take credit as a leader, That's what pride is. Humility means that at the end of the day, for all of the outcomes as a leader, I am willing to give credit to others who've gotten the job done and ultimately give the glory and credit to God who has gifted me. This is not about me. This is about God working through me and gifting me to get the job done. So if we're talking about that kind of humility, complete surrender and giving glory to God, because I know who I really am at the core. You can be tough, you can be assertive, and you can also be gentle and kind and merciful and forgiving and all the qualities that character brings to a leader.
I think that's an important distinction, so I appreciate that. Thank you for defining that better.
Dr. Stoll, for the person, the leader, that is finding themselves often looking around at other leaders around them and going, oh, I want to be as successful as them. I want to have what they have. I'm going to keep doing the best I can here so that I can achieve that. It's that grass is always greener kind of situation they find themselves in. What's your encouragement for them today to maybe not be wrapped up in all that?
Ted, that's such an important question. Because, you know, it used to be that, and the book is primarily written to ministry leaders, although the principles are certainly transferable. But years ago, you know, if you were like a ministry leader in an organization or in a little town or something, you know, you maybe thought you were the best leader in the world because there was no TV, no radio, there was no tweeting, there were no blogs, there were no, you know, national conferences where the big guys were invited. You know, it's just like, but today we live in a world where high-level success leaders are apparent to us. And the comparison, like, why can't I be like that? Or when you're young, you have visions of sugar plum dancing in your head. I will be like that someday. But when you're 40 and you realize I'm still leading in this small context and I'm relatively unrecognized and I'm not getting the affirmation I want, those sugar plums turn to sour grapes in your spirit, and it just defeats you. So the principles, one of the things I try to get across in the book is that God uses unlikely leaders, and that Jesus was an unlikely leader, and that we have to have confidence in where God has called us to be and the gifts he has given us to do the work of Christ in the place where he has put us and let him measure our success. And as Ann Graham Lotz said in her recommendation for the book, that there are leaders who have the silence of earth will not be measured with the applause in heaven for them when they finally get home and are recognized for the outstanding leadership that they have really done.
So true. We just have a minute or two left here, Dr. Stoll, but speak to those that are listening this morning and their hopes, their dreams just feel like the rug's been pulled out from them. They feel like it's over, but they're a character-driven leader. What advice would you give for them this morning as they're listening?
Well, I think that sometimes we have to recognize that disappointments and rugs being pulling out from underneath us, that God is not absent in those times, and that the wonderful redemptive reality is that he uses those times to groom us and to deepen our character and prepare us for better things still ahead. And so, you know, God hasn't bailed on you when the rug's been pulled out from underneath you. Don't bail on yourself and cooperate with, maybe it's a reproof for the way a person is led in the wrong way. Maybe it's like just being a total victim and innocent of people, you know, gossiping or complaining or whatever, not cooperate. I don't know, whatever it is, leaders get this, feel this way a lot. You know, just keep your eye on God and try to see his hand. Pray, God, show me what you're doing here and deepen me and use me. And above all else, resist bitterness and discouragement and despair. Because now, if there's no God, you ought to be in total despair. But if he is still with you and he's on your team, then there ought to be some measure of optimism, even in the worst kind of problems.
Some encouragement for us. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and wish we had more time because I know that there are so many people listening that have great questions too, that, you know, you go through some ups and downs, definitely in leadership, and all those things can really define us, as you're saying too, and make us stronger too, as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So thank you, Dr. Stoll, for your time today.
Thank you, PK and Ted. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you too. Thank you.
Okay. And we have